This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
We do have Ryan Roberts coming up in 1 hour's time. More draft talk on the way, but last night, nice win by the Cavaliers, and I think we started to see a little bit of friskiness there between the two teams.
Yeah, I mean, well, it really came in the post game more than it was anything else. I feel like Darius and calling out Tyler Hero is just, he's trying to pick a fight there, is he not?
All right. Well, so listen, we're gonna play Darius Garland talking about how to play clean basketball versus the Heat, how to win. And you guys can be the judge of whether this is picking a fight or not.
What's the key to playing clean basketball like that against a team like that?
Pick on Tyler Hero and take care of the ball. Don't play in tight spaces and pick on their weak defenders. Go at them.
I don't think he was taking a shot at Tyler Hero. I think he was just saying what the obvious game plan has been, which is don't let Tyler Hero beat you.
No, I mean, come on. That was obviously a shot at Tyler Hero. Like,
so much defensive intensity to him.
How can you look at it any other way? Like, even if you're right in the breakdown and you're right in the assessment, if the assessment is you stink and I'm going at you, it doesn't make it any less insulting.
I didn't hear I stink there.
That was him saying that they all collectively know that Tyler Hero is not the defender that maybe even he thinks he is, and you need to go after him as often as you can.
Now, I cannot remember the exact verbiage. Tyler Hero has said some things about the Cavs that I think the Cavs have taken personally. Like, I don't remember what the exact verbiage of was it, but he had his own little critique of the Cavs going into this.
He's definitely a crap talker on the court.
And he definitely is going out of his way to tell the Cavs through the media that he's not afraid of the Cavs.
I mean, that was Darius's way of saying, if everyone's not paying attention, it's obvious to see what we're doing. We're picking on Tyler Hero. They picked on Duncan Robinson as well. I think you noticed that as well. Jimmy Neutron.
Everyone picks on Jimmy Neutron.
In a very short amount of time, it was like a negative 15 as far as his plus minus, because they just went after him, and then Spoelstra was like, oh, no, you can't play any defense against this Cavs team. We got to get you out immediately.
Isn't that Duncan Robinson in a nutshell?
But between the two of them, it was pretty clear. Like, if Atkinson had any sort of plan, I thought the brilliant part of what he did, and we can get into some of the nitty-gritty part of this a little bit later on, I'm sure, but some of the genius part of Atkinson last night was just taking the obvious. Pick on Duncan Robinson when he's on the court. Pick on Tyler Hero. It's what people do to the Cavs all the time when it comes to Darius Garland.
So here's where I'm at with this. I don't think Darius was out of bounds. I think Darius was saying what they're doing. Like, I think they are picking on Tyler, and I think they are focusing extra on the offensive side of the ball to wear him down. And they're saying
he doesn't say it if it's game 67 though.
Well, I mean, okay.
Random
game
67.
We all say a little bit more in the playoffs than we should.
I think he wants to get these guys. I think Darius is picking a fight because I think Darius wants them to be physical because we can showcase that. These are all warm-ups. The rest of this series is warm-ups for the Cavs in trying to showcase everything that they've been trying to get right for the previous couple years.
I actually think it's a little different than that. From my vantage point, I think the Cavs got pissed off by the Heat last night. The Heat were they weren't dirty, but they were a little more chippy last night. And, I mean, even, like, some of the ways that they were getting through screens, And they were getting away with it, whereas the Cavs, I think last night you saw the Cavs, the refs really got in the Cavs' head last night, and I think that's part of this. Like, I think between the refs, and listen, maybe it swings the other way. The Cavs are the one seed. The Cavs are the clear favorite in the series, and the Cavs are at home. And they are getting calls. They're not getting calls.
They're
at
no
a rate.
Calls.
This is like they're a play-in team.
That, like, they're getting
the,
no
the
calls.
Cavs are being treated like the play-in team, not the Miami Heat. And it is. And I hate being the guy.
I'm never that
to have
guy.
To say
you know,
that.
I'm never that guy about the refs. I think it's the lamest thing you can do in sports radio is complain about the refs. But it's so obviously one-sided.
But to me, the Cavs, I think the Cavs really let that get in their head last night. I think because of that, we can say they're a little lucky. But, yeah, I think between the refs and now the Heat were feeling themselves a little bit last night, play them a little closer. And I think it pissed the Cavs off. And I say good luck, Miami, because now I think it might have woken up the Cavs a little bit in a way that I don't think is productive
for
Miami.
Well, there's a part of me that wonders if the Cavs are a little embarrassed about how the third and fourth quarters went down.
I don't know. It's
just wild because they shouldn't be embarrassed about what happened at all.
I think there was frustration. I don't know if it's embarrassment, but we're probably pretty close to saying the same darn thing. But, like, I think you could tell the Cavs were like, all right, if we're going to be playing you and the refs and you guys are going to act like you are the 2012 Miami Heat, we're going to bust your ass. Like, and I'm not saying it works because they kept getting called on every little thing that they did. I mean, Darius got called for a tech last night, and he didn't push. That one upset me. He did not push. It was Bam, right? He didn't push Bam as hard in that moment as Donovan had pushed Duncan the other night. Duncan.
Yeah. Well, Donovan deserved the T. He didn't get it, but he deserved it.
Neither of them did. It's the NBA playoffs, for God's sakes.
No, that was – I mean, the play was dead. The Donovan one, we can split hairs there. The point is that I thought people freaked out a little bit too much. You had an all-time second quarter. They hit more three-pointers in the second quarter, hitting 11, than any team. This includes the Golden State Warriors that bombed threes left and right, than any team in NBA history in the playoffs, Nick. Like, that was an all-time 11 for 13 from deep in that corner. It was an all-time offensive quarter for the Cavs. And then, yeah, there was some regression that happened, and the stats evened out a little bit. You still ended up with what would have been 122 points, is still the most points in leading the league in the NBA this year.
Like, I'm just going to tell you right
now, like they vomited all over their shoes. I didn't think that was the case.
I'm going to just tell you right now, I was happy that Darius said this, and I want that ass now. I do. I'm so sick of the Heat culture. I am so sick of the building up a mid-ass franchise. You take Shaq off that team.
They're not very good.
You take LeBron off that team. They never win championships. They've stolen every championship they've ever bought.
It was almost, by the way.
Like, they act like they run the NBA, and it's like, no, they're like trying to insert themselves into NBA history like they're the Celtics or they're the Lakers. You're not. You just happen to be located in South Beach. I want Jared Allen to knock somebody into the ether in game three.
I don't know
if he takes a couple Heat fans with him, I'm okay with it.
Oh,
the
yeah?
juice is in. We got juice in the series now, boy.
Take Pat Riley with you, too.
I'm mad. No, Tyler Hero, you are like, you're bizarro world Austin Reeves. Like, who the hell do you think you are? Like, Bam Adebayo, like, these dudes are not top two players.
I don't think they're claiming to be anything great, though. That's the other part of this. Like, I mean, this is why yesterday
Tyler
before
Hero
the game,
walks like he owns.
What did I tell you yesterday before the game? Like, with they'd have
the Rock
out of the top eight best players in this series. They got two of them, and that's it. Like, this is not a very good team.
Yeah, but they don't know that. And like, listen,
they know that.
I don't mind Davion Mitchell playing like he's got a chip on his shoulder. That's what he's supposed to do. I don't mind. I actually like the Khalil Ware kid. I think
he mentioned
has
him a couple
a
times
really
now.
Nice
yeah.
upside in the NBA. But like, they got some guys that I like watching play basketball. But I'm just over Hero, man. I just think that dude just thinks he is something that he clearly is not. And honestly,
he played pretty good last night. He disappeared in game one for like a quarter and a half. He played pretty good. He just got picked on defensively.
I got to tell you, Pat Riley chose that guy over Donovan Mitchell. Pat Riley chose that guy over Kevin Durant. Pat Riley chose that guy over bona fide superstars. And that guy is
No, he chose
just,
Jimmy Butler over those other two players that you're mentioning.
Jimmy. Well, no. Because remember, they refused to put Tyler Hero in the Donovan Mitchell deal.
You're right about that.
There were two other deals that year,
and they wouldn't put him in there. But I don't.
Oh no, sorry, we can't get away from a guy who's a pretty good shooter and like overall nice facilitator, but not certainly a top 10 player in the NBA. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't get away from like a starter. We can't give away a starter. We'll only give you. You know, we'll give you Haywood Highsmith.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, can we give you and Terry Rozier's contract? Is that worth Donovan Mitchell? I want that ass.
Yeah, you just went through like the whole history of the Heat for some reason. I don't know.
Because I'm sick of this organization, and I'm sick of clowns.
Two days ago, you were talking about
like
the culture of the Heat. Now
I'm mocking
they are,
it. I'm
and Spoelstra
heat
and all this stuff. And I was the one telling you it's all Fugazi.
I don't remember that way. Mac, do you remember it that way?
Oh, as he smiles. Hey, listen,
I think we both think it's Fugazi.
Listen, welcome to the table, I guess.
Mac, is that how you remember
it? I'd rather have you on the team than not.
When did I glorify? No, I said they're not going to give up in games. That doesn't mean I think they're the 72-win Bulls.
You being one to make fun of the Heat culture? No, absolutely not. No sarcasm coming from Nicholas.
He's matching my sarcasm with his sarcasm. Now we got a sarcasm off over here.
Dynamite drop in there, Monty. Yesterday it was a weird game. Can we just admit it was a weird game? The fact that they had such an electric and awesome second quarter, and you're up by 19, and we thought it was just going to be blouses, and then you needed Donovan to turn it on. But that's why you have Donovan
that
to turn it on in the fourth
that
quarter.
That didn't get your blood flowing last night?
Not in the slightest bit.
Oh man,
not in the slightest bit.
We gotta get you a health.
Even
workup.
When it got within four, I was so. Unbothered by any stretch of that game, and I
want that ass over here now.
I was just so like they're going to win. We've just watched this Cavs team just pull out win after win after win. No part of me was worried.
Oh man!
And if anything, after they went up 19, I was like, okay, if it's not a four game series, and if the Heat then erased it down to four, if it's not a four game series, it's obviously a five game series. I just wasn't bothered.
I'm gonna land the plane right now.
Yeah.
Darius Garland, good on you. You're right. Tyler Hero's a punk. Miami is not bleep.
Pick fights, man. I like this.
Let's just get out of this series because these guys don't belong with you. Let's make this a four-game series. I want them to drop. I want to run past them by 30 points in Miami. Now, granted, the Miami fans don't show up till halftime. I want the game to be over by the time your average Heat fan actually their ass hits the seat. 216.
Get in price right now is just a bag of powder.
The good stuff?
Not even the good stuff.
You just bring it down from like the inferior stuff from Jacksonville.
It's actually, you know how we had Cynthia Freeland yesterday on, and she's like, when you get to Green Bay, they give you a bunch of cheese curds when you land. When you land in Miami, it's a palm tree, Pat Riley, and a baggie.
216-474-0092. I think the blood got flowing there for you. Does the Darius Garland-Tyler Hero back and forth add any juice to this series? I'm juiced up, baby. I'm like Arnold in 88. And we talk about need with the Cavaliers in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Yeah, and I just think, so that was the right order of operations. And, I mean, last night's the kind of night where, like, it was a little bipolar. And I think you got enough from everyone else that everyone can kind of say, hey, we had our DeAndre Hunter bounce back game. You know, this guy had his bounce back game. Not Isaac Okoro, mind you. No. I'm sorry. That's just because Mac is sitting next to us, and Mac is still the biggest Isaac Okoro apologist. So every time Isaac misses a three or like a layup, I make sure to let him know.
I didn't check his shoes last night. What shoes were his?
I believe still neon green.
Okay, that's a big point of contention for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, it could be because
got those Grinch shoes.
Because they don't match the uniform, and he's not playing well.
It would be really funny if he also had one of the like endorsements from like one of those made up Chinese brand companies.
Like if Michael Doliak wore those shoes, we would have ran him out of Cleveland.
Yeah,
Isaac, here's a 2-year extension. Now, I actually agree with Kenny Atkinson. Like last night, I mean, you need scares in the playoffs. You need moments where you get punched in the face, and it's better to get punched in the face by somebody that's limp-wristed like the Miami Heat are, who don't really have the chance to follow through with a knockout punch.
And that was the point. You can get punched in the face there, but they're limp-wristed. They're not. They don't have enough of a punch to make sure that you get knocked out. And it was very evident
get up again
throughout that game. Yeah, almost 50% from three they still shot in that game, Nick. Like I hate the phrasing around, or really the discussion around this game, as if the Cavs just absolutely stunk up the joint. Like it's just not true.
No, but let's be honest, they got punched in the face by the limp-wristed Heat, and then there was a bit of a struggle there.
I mean, basketball is a game of runs. Always has been, always will be. And the second quarter was an all-time great quarter. And then you just watch the third quarter be a little bit of a bounce back. Now, the part I will get on is how badly they got out-rebounded in the fourth quarter.
So it's that. No,
that part bothered me.
The vibes were down. And I think this can occasionally be the thing with the Cavs that and listen, they won the game. So none of this is criticism. These are merely observations of things of like, these are the things you have to remember in the NBA. You cannot let the referees take you out of the game. You can't let the referees, with timely calls, get in your head to the point that it did last night. Because, I mean, if you look at the offensive possessions, Brad Doherty was screaming it all night. Like, guys, just start moving the damn basketball. Because what was happening is one bad possession was compounding another. That wasn't about the Heat. That was about you. And I think that's where, like, if another team just has a better night, if Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, they just shoot 55% from three and take three more three-pointers and you shoot 45%, okay. Like, that happens. This last night was a case of whether it was the referees, whether it was the physicality that I think Boston brought, much more stingy defense, the Cavs allowed that to get into their dome for about 8 minutes, 9 minutes of clock time, and you don't have to. You're still the Cavs. Like, vibes shouldn't just be about, man, we just shot and made nine straight three-pointers.
Well, yeah, but that's why Kenny let off that clip saying we're not a make-or-miss team, because it really felt like they were a make-or-miss team last night.
Yeah, well, listen, the bottom line should be they passed a test last night. They did. They passed a test. That was you got punched in the face, and you did eventually survive there. But you got punched in the face, and then you remembered you don't like getting punched in the face.
Yeah, sometimes
that
you
was much
touch
more about that, the Cavs' reaction to getting punched in the face than man, we got Mike Tyson across the court there with the Miami Heat.
Well, but there are, like, if this happens in a Boston series, is it a problem?
Oh, last night's a loss. Yeah,
because I think so. I think so.
And maybe against Indiana too, with the way they can score.
But it's more about the idea that they just. Okay, it didn't feel like they gave up on the game last night. It didn't feel like they got the 19-point lead and decided just to coast. But how do you explain the lack of rebounds in the fourth quarter? Fourth quarter, 18-3.
But this is what I was preaching to you last night. Like, this is why I'm like, guys, they haven't done it yet. All right? This might be the year where they punch through and get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Hell, it might be the year that they punch through the NBA Finals and maybe they get a championship this year. I hope to heck it is. But I see a team that is ready to ascend. I do. I absolutely do. But they haven't ascended yet. And
no,
that's
and
what
no,
last night's about.
Not.
Last night is about, it's one of those micro tests along the way to potential greatness.
My response last night, though, was the idea that I just think Miami is just so bad of a team. You just have so much more talent than what they have that you can have those type of games like you did last night and still end up with a win.
I think that is a very valid point that against a better team.
It resets next series.
No, it does.
We can't have the same mentality next series.
No.
If you take on a much better team.
You're 100% right. But I think my point is you need three or four of last night's kind of tests, right? you know the answers. You just got to write them down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the next one, and then the next series hopefully presents you a couple tests that are a little bit tougher to deal with. And so then gradually over time, you build up a thicker skin and maybe a little bit better knowledge about what it takes to win in the playoffs. All I saw last night was a Cavs team that is learning to win in the playoffs. Those things are good. Like, that's honestly, it's what I was calling back to 2 weeks ago when I said the Cavs need punched in the face. Last night was part of that.
Okay, but I wish there was a better learning experience from last night then, because the learning experience that they could take away was we got in trouble and then Donovan came and bailed us out.
No, that's how the NBA works, though, right? Like,
your superstar is supposed to put on the cape and go do it, but it's not as if they, you know, like the fourth quarter of game one was Darius and Ty Jerome going off. You know what I mean? And it was such a different way.
So it's a problem that Donovan went off last
night? Not saying that. No, it's just a different way of doing it. Whereas, you know, it felt like they got in trouble last night and their answer was Donovan, go save us. Well, we knew Donovan can put on the cape at any point.
Well, but that's, like, you still need to see that lesson too.
Where's the lesson? I've seen that with Donovan for three years.
See, that's not a lesson. That's a cheat code. That is a sometimes Big Brother has to come along, put his arm around you, and say, "I got this," and that's okay.
Right, but if you wanted yesterday to be some sort of big like learning experience, where's the learning experience with
the learning experience?
Have Donovan go out there and just save the day.
When somebody punches you in the face, you can't lose who you are.
I felt like they did lose who they are last night in many ways, though.
But again, I'm not making a big deal about last night. I think that's also part of that. Whether Donovan scored the points or not, they still all had to play defense. They still all had to kind of figure it out one way or another. It's not like Donovan did everything on the court last night.
The rebounding is just bothering me so much, just how badly they got out-rebounded.
Let's remember, Miami is a big team. I think the Cavs are. You talked about make or miss. I think the Cavs can occasionally be just a little bit too much make or miss on the boards. But, I mean, in fairness, like, DeAndre Hunter had that incredible rebound on the offensive side of things that led to three late. Like, there were some good things in the glass late. But, no, last night is part of this. And, it was excruciating in the moment because you're like, you can't – don't do that. Like, just – guys, just catch your breath. Catch your composure. Catch your vibes, right? But, again, like, this is the way you do it. And it looks different every night. Some nights it'll be Donovan. Maybe there'll be a night where Evan or Darius. Hell, there might be a night Ty Jerome or Sam Merrill. You never know who's going to do it. But I think the lesson you learned is when the call has to go out because you got punched in the face and you staggered for a minute, can you answer the call? They did. And that there's a part of me that is excruciating as parts of that game felt like watching them. Just try and stink it up on offense for several straight possessions. Man, that was frustrating. At the same point, I was like, hey, you guys got the message eventually. Like, in the end, I can't feel anything but pride for a Cavs team that put them on the table last night and
for sure
got popped and then came back and was like, no, we're going to still end up with a win. Because I'll tell you right now, you know what? I'll go one step further.
Okay,
that's a game last year or the year before that they lose.
Oh, last post. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because Ken kept going back to the idea that 2-0, the series isn't done based off of what happened last year in the postseason against Orlando, right? Where they started up that series 2-0. But the difference between that team and this team is so large. And the difference in the series, by the way, the Cavs didn't score 100 points in the Orlando series, Nick, until game 5. They had nothing offensively against Orlando. They had no answers offensively against Orlando. Didn't score 100
Ken's
points.
Right.
Until game 5.
You know how much that hurt me to say?
No.
I think Ken's right. You're crowning him. Don't crown him. Let him do it. Let him figure it out in real time.
It's not crowning him, but it's just going back to the idea that they should win this series in 4 games, and if not, it'll be a gentleman sweep in 5. And this series is way different than the Orlando series.
Last year, they should, and then will they?
No, last year they lose that game. You can't tell me last year they lose that game and acknowledge how different they are this year and then say Ken's right.
No. He's right on the idea of until they sweep a series. They've never done that together as a team. So it doesn't matter whether it's last year's Orlando team this year or last year's Cavs team, this year's Cavs team. It doesn't matter. The point is they haven't done this.
Are you scared of 2-0 then?
No, I'm not scared.
Not at all.
But I respect the fact that the Heat are a professional basketball team, that if you do too much of what you did last night, eventually this could turn into a 5-game series or a 6-game.
series.
I mean, they haven't even really played their best games.
Where you and I are in lockstep. I agree with that, by the way. I 100% agree with that, that they haven't played their best basketball. But where you and I, where you may maybe differ is, okay, now go do it. Like, that's what these playoffs are about.
Well, you can only do it one game at a time, though. So, like, I can't get them to game three when we just played game two.
But you just said, well, they should. Well, of course they should, but now go do it. And I think that's where Ken and I agree of it's like, yeah, okay, this is a team that is still two
Ken's playing
two
with the idea,
over-
though, that, like, starting off 2-0 this year is somehow related to starting off 2-0 last year. And the series just looked totally different to me. Offensively, they're night and day. Again, they didn't score 100 points until game
five. They are
a
different team. We agree on that idea.
Different.
But I think my point is the Cavs in the playoffs have, like, last night was the next test of can you play playoff basketball with that kind of intensity for 48 minutes? And what happens when you get punched in the face? The previous iteration, the same damn team. They look different. They got a different head coach. They have a different offense. The defense isn't as good. It is a completely different team. At the same point, same guys would get punched in the face and wilt last year to an Orlando team they should have swept. So, unless, and at the same point, like, I agree with Ken. Go do it. You got two more games. Go sweep them. And when you do, I'll give you your flowers. When you do, it'll change my relationship to each series and how I feel about you and your ability to pass the test. But, like I'm somewhere between the two of you. But, no, last night was a good thing for the Cavs. I'm proud of what they did. Now let's do it two more times and let's get on to the second round of the playoffs.
They just keep showing me a lot, and they've showed me a lot in game one. They showed me a lot in game two that not only are they beating the teams that they should be beating, but they're not even playing their best basketball and still winning these games. Like the room for error that I think didn't exist last year does exist now. It's not saying anything bad about the team. In fact, I think it's the greatest compliment you can give a team.
216-474-0092 at Nick Wilson says at Jay Peterlin on social media, did the Cavs need last night? I think they did. I think they need a bunch of nights like last night to get where hopefully they eventually go this year. And it's not just a big night for us here in Cleveland. It's the NFL draft. We're very excited. We got something to talk about in 5 minutes. Not just a big night here in Cleveland. In five on 92.3 The Fan. We're on a 3-day streak of hiking. Did a 50-minute hike today, so much so that at the end of it, I was a little exhausted.
Nice.
And then I came home.
Sun beat you up a little bit?
I did beat. Let me tell you, too much sun, I said.
Yep.
Got some great time with Mongo. Got to watch my outdoor cat eat a baby rabbit. I mean, there's just so many good things going today.
You're usually my weather guy. I missed the memo completely. I would have taken Charlotte on a walk. I got to drop her off to my father-in-law, and he's like, I was like, oh, no, it's awesome outside. He's like, yeah, it's great all day. And I'm like, I had no idea.
So it is a beautiful day out here. You got to stop on by and see us. A little bit of a draft scuttlebutt out there. Rappaport saying on Rich Eisen that the Giants are now in play for Shedeur Sanders in three. Does that seem like a smoke, or does that seem like a fire?
So I've kind of been waiting for something like this. I'm glad you asked. I've kind of been waiting for, I've been waiting for, it feels like 48 hours now, to start having some of what seems like reality seep into the draft conversation.
Yeah.
And I like that we're approaching the draft with that being the conversation instead of just a slide, a drop, and everything else that just did not feel very accurate to me for a long time. So this is a good development, Nick.
Remember how you said good earlier that you were never afraid of losing to the Heat last night?
Yeah.
I have no fear
of losing
that
the burger
I'm going
bet?
To lose the burger bet at all.
Yeah.
He will not go in the top eight. I don't want my burger tomorrow. That's too early. But some point next week.
You're getting like a gift card, you know that? I think I'm going to give you a gift card.
I don't think.
And
with a succulent?
We never even. Yeah, you wish there. Succulents are too expensive for what this gift card is offering up.
I mean, good God. How discourteous can you be? I want wined and dined, baby.
And typically, if I lose a bet, I would give you. I'd give you like the Wagyu burger option. I'd give you everything under the sun if you wanted. Because
a $5 gift card to TGI Friday?
Because it's such a personal one. Yes, I might find the day that TGI Fridays does their $4 burger deal.
Humble yourself at the Chevette?
Humble myself?
You're not gonna be like this is my friend. And no. We should want to lose bets with our friends, by the way. I would be honored to lose the Chevette
you
with you.
You think you're getting a discounted gift card? Wait till you see what Daryl gets.
He's gonna get the other half of the rabbit.
Half of whatever you get.
You're gonna show up and be like, yeah, this is made from the other half of the rabbit that Nick's outdoor cat Dolly killed.
I might buy Mac a Wagyu burger just to offset everything. Just out of principle. to make sure that you guys get the cheap burger.
You are trying to buy him. I mean,
no, I'm not. Yeah. That's a sunk. That's a lost cause. I've focused all my attention on Jake. Mac is on your radio tree. That's your guy. I've given up on that. He's you. But you know, Jake's my guy. So that's all that matters.
That's not how that works at all. No. They're both my guys.
Well, Jake worked with me at night for, you know, his first start in radio, and I really, you know, took him under my wing.
The first day I met Jake, I said he looked like my nephew and asked if I could take a picture of him.
Did you send it to your nephew?
No, I did. He was five at the time.
Jake looks like your five-year-old nephew?
Yeah, like a grown-up version of that. He doesn't look 5 years old.
Like the AI?
Small people can look like big people, and big people can look like small people. Thank you very much.
You can tell why I was surprised by that, though, right? When you presented it as I took a photo of him because he looks
like
my nephew, I assumed he was another 20-year-old male. Yeah,
that's. I
didn't think he was going to be a 5-year-old.
Yeah, well, always look out for the curve.
That's a good thing for Shador. Happy for Shador that this
I will
is happening.
I will be so humbled if I lose the Shabbat with you, and I will be gracious in defeat, unlike yourself.
Here's what I just don't want, and I don't want this for Shador. I just don't think I don't think he deserves this.
Don't think he should build for it?
I don't think anybody is, by the way, what I'm about to say. If he ends up with the Steelers at 21, Tomlin doesn't know what to do with quarterbacks. He is a quarterback killer. I think it would be a disastrous spot for him. Ultimately, I do want Shador to have success. I would have to, in 24 hours, go to hating Shador while also understanding that Shador has no chance of succeeding in Pittsburgh.
That's kind of what I should want now.
It's a dream scenario.
You can maneuver.
Well, you can keep the hate for Shador rolling. You can keep
there's
the disdain
no
for Shador rolling.
I just am not a Shador fanboy like you.
Yeah, there's no hate. Okay.
All I've said is I think he's a mid quarterback. I've never taken a shot at him personally. I've taken a few shots at his father, but his father's earned it because he's full of it. But like, I have been as nice about the Shador thing. I've not rubbed your face in it.
The fact that we have so many attached to all of this, I think, speaks to all we need to know.
I'm a bit person. All right? I like bits.
There we go,
it's
Jake.
It's how I occupy my time.
So that would be a disaster of a scenario in many ways.
There's another thing that I was going to tell you guys.
Nick Schefter over here?
No, I don't have a good Schefter. I was just going to plug my nose and then talk like I'm better than you.
The Cleveland?
Nope, that's Gottlieb. Nope. Felt a Gottlieb coming out, and I was like...
Someone gave me a Peter Schrager comp that I never knew, and now every time I see Peter Schrager, it can't escape me.
Who was that?
Alf.
Wait.
Alf was the comp.
I thought you meant people compared you to Peter Schrager.
No.
Which I've heard a comparison of before.
You've heard someone comp me to Peter Schrager?
Yes.
Like from a look standpoint or a broadcasting standpoint?
I think the looks.
So do I look like Alf to you?
No, that's not what I
Because that
I'm
was
saying.
The one I heard yesterday for Peter Schrager. And once I saw it, I said, oh no, he kind of does look like Alf.
Which Buckeye would you be most comfortable
Glad
drafting?
You asked. I think Emeka Abuka would be my answer here. And I'm really kind of, for his own success, I think people talking about him going 20 to the Broncos does add up to me. He's had, you talk about a drive up the draft boards. Abuka, in the past, I don't know, week or so, is not only crept his way deep into the first round, but now is somewhere around that 20 range, and it's a great come up for him.
Josh Simmons scares me. Tui Moloau is a great college player. He kind of scares me. Emeka kind of scares me.
Why does Emeka scare you?
Short-handed,
smart.
I think if you're going to take a wide receiver with a top 33 pick, he better be a number one wide receiver, and I don't think he is. I think you'd be stuck with Abuka and Jerry Jeudy, two guys who I think probably better classify as number two picks.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying for the Browns. I was just saying in general.
Okay, gotcha. I really like Ty Leak. Really, really like. And I do think, listen, when I say, like, I'd be
That's been your guy from day one.
I'd be
at
comfortable.
At 33, you've loved him the entire
time. Yeah, absolutely.
Time.
I still do. If it's a third-round pick, I really think Jack Sawyer is going to be a nice NFL player. I don't think he's going to be more than a nice player, but I really think Jack is just going to be a solid
Sawyer,
rotational, maybe even fringe starter defensive end.
Sawyer definitely got that national title glow-up. Got that. I played great throughout four games. I had impactful games, and everyone watched and saw it.
Which Tui Moloau didn't.
No, he didn't. Like, well,
he was supposed to be a first rounder, and then he goes out. I thought he had a really nice playoffs as well. And then I think people expect Sawyer to go over Tui Moloau, which is Like I kind of think that's how I saw it, that Sawyer's going to be the better football player in the NFL. We're talking about who was the overall better football player in college. It was JT. I mean, Sawyer had a Will Howard-esque run in the playoffs, and he was pretty okay in the rest of the regular season. But yeah, Tyleek for me, Sawyer depending on where he is. I know people love these safeties. I don't know. I just don't know about Jordan Hancock or Ransom. I'm just not sold.
What do you think is going to happen with the running backs?
Ooh, all right. So I'd be most comfortable taking Travion. I've heard people say he might sneak into the first round. That's not where if you put first round running back on, I think it's gonna be like Travis Etienne. He's gonna have some injuries. He's gonna be a nice player, but he's not be a great player. Quinshon, I just don't know. Like, the way people talk about Quinshon is not how I feel about him. I think he's a fine player. I don't think he's going to be I think Travion could be a legit top 10 running back.
We've seen eye to eye on this for a while. By the way, a new comp, I know this is not Ohio State, but running back adjacent. Did you see the new comp Albert Breer put out for Hampton?
No.
That he got across the NFL?
No, what's that?
Nick Chubb.
All right, take him. Take the man at 33.
Yeah, much better than the one I heard the other day, which is a Joe Mixon. But yeah, he's hearing Nick Chubb is the NFL comp.
To be clear, they
keeps
were
being thrown out there.
They were talking about Joe Mixon on the field, right?
Not
Joe
off the field. No,
not knockout Joe
not,
off
not,
the field.
Not bars.